With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hey guys, the Cobcast just created a Patreon at patreon.com where you can go to donate a couple bucks a month to our show to help us keep it going. If you can do that, we'd really appreciate it. It's patreon.com/BigRedCobcast or go to our Twitter at BigRedCobcast. There's a pinned tweet at the top with a link to it. All right, thanks guys.
It's the Cobcast. It's the Cobcast, y'all. It's the Cobcast.
It's the Big Red Cobcast. Big Red Cobcast, brought to you by Coronation.
This week's episode is brought to you by Big D's Party Peanuts.
Hey, welcome to Big Red Cobcast.
Get a load of these nuts.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Pat.
And it's Saturday afternoon in the middle of June in hot-ass Van Nuys.
Yeah, you're not running your AC, are you?
No, we don't run our AC because AC is for suckers.
Also, I mean, when we're recording stuff, you don't want the AC running anyway.
I don't think these mics would pick it up.
Don't they? I feel like I've heard it on them before. Either way, we've still got Husker stuff to talk about. We're jumping on almost 24 hours prior to Joshua Moore's official announcement. Although you said that an article leaked.
Yeah, an article leaked and so did a video. And Pat, read up a good so either Barfnecht or Chatlin, more like Shitlin. Sucker.
Is it because he's doing another podcast?
Oh, that's right. Let's not advertise his stupid podcast.
Well, the sound quality is terrible.
Of course it is, because
they record it in a fucking closet, like on a cell phone.
Yeah, everybody. Here's the deal. I love your podcast. If you make a podcast, I'm sure it's great. But stop doing it because it's getting crowded in here.
Fair enough. I can appreciate that rationale.
Okay. Yeah. So, what were we just talking about? Oh yeah. So apparently he wrote an article and it leaked and,
it was Sam McEwen, right?
Oh, maybe it was Sam McEwen. It's one of those linking guys that's not Sipple.
Well, Sam McEwen covers recruiting for the World Herald.
Okay, so yeah, probably Sam McEwen. It's not Sipple or my arch nemesis, Michael Sevier.
Yeah, we didn't announce that you two are now sworn enemies.
Yeah, we're sworn enemies. Michael Sevier is my sworn enemy now because he tried to call me out on Twitter.
Over your defense of Keyshawn Johnson?
Yeah. No, actually, it was because of my hate, because I was talking shit about the cops that arrested him. And he was like, it wasn't the cops, it was the roommate. And I was like, yeah, whatever, shut up, Michael Sevier. Fine, then I don't like the roommates. We all know what I was going for there.
Yeah, you know what? Don't call the cops, just throw some Vaseline on the kid's door handle so he can't get in next time he's trying to get into his room.
Yeah.
You've gotten him back.
Yeah. And also, everybody knows that the Big Red Cobcast is fake news. We all know that. It's not like we're in here doing a shit ton of research. It's all emotion and shit Pat remembers. That's the Cobcast. That should be our slogan.
My week is research.
Just because you read an article and remember it doesn't make it research. Because if that's the case, I've been researching porn for 20 years.
You don't read porn.
Well, I do. I get the transcripts.
You turn on closed captioning.
Yeah, because the the video is, yeah, the video is distracting. I want to read the plots. I want to see where the game and turn are in the scene.
high-pitched nasally moaning in parentheses.
Yeah. Anyways.
See, I researched too.
Yeah. Anyways, so Michael Sevier is my arch nemesis now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if anybody knows him, just go ahead and tell him.
you've been on his show.
I have been on his show. That's true.
Promoting that movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, but then he did big time me.
In what way?
After that. I saw him at an event afterwards, and I said hi to him. He's like, hi. And I just kept walking. So he did big time me.
He can't remember who he's had on his show.
I know. And not to mention, I'm not a football player, so.
When you've got Joe Gans coming on five times a week.
Yeah.
When you've got Tom Chattelle coming on five times a week.
Yeah, when you're calling 17-year-olds on the phone to ask them about
their week.
When
you've got Dirk Chatlin on five times a week. Yeah. You lose track of all your guests.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am, and in his defense, I am a nobody. In his defense, I also was fat when he interviewed me, and now I look immaculate. So there was, but wait.
Do you remember who? Oh, go ahead.
No, that's fine.
Do you remember who helped get you that interview?
Was it you?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. You got me get a couple interviews.
I watched that then online because I was in Connecticut at that point, and I watched you in your. In your Husker specialty jersey from that year.
Oh, yeah.
Because you were going to, I think you were heading to the Miami game.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it was. And the other thing was, is that I think that people, like, I would get it on the tour, too, where, like, they would think I was just being a giant homer. Like I was, or not like, or excuse me, not that I was being a giant homer, that I was, like, trying to, like, play into, like, being a Husker fan extra to sell more movies. Like, no, I'm a goddamn homer. Like, I dress like that all the time. I've actually stopped dressing like that so much because it became a thing where I would go to
where people on our sketch team accuse you of wearing Husker stuff all the time.
Yeah, too much. Like, and like I would become like the dude that's a Husker fan, and then so nobody would ever see me as anything but that. So I had to like stop wearing so much Husker stuff. So it was never like a ploy. It was just always who I was, as who we all are.
That's why I've stopped dressing nerdy.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. You're wearing paisley.
What's the matter with paisley?
Wait, that's not even, those aren't even paisley. That's like,
I don't know, it's a floral print of
posies.
Sorts.
God, it's hot in here.
It is hot in here. Do you need me to leave?
No. I just want to turn on the air conditioner, but you know what? We're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Where were we? What else were we going to talk about?
There was something that I had in relation to what we were just talking about on our Facebook Live earlier, and I'm struggling to remember.
Kavanaugh versus
Well,
Reggie
no,
Davis.
Something different kind of tied to what we were talking about, but I don't remember
what were
we
talking about? I already forgot.
Me too.
Friday
it's the
Night
Heat,
Lights?
Guys. It's, well, actually, yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Friday Night Lights was last night, and a big old dump of a storm just crapped on Lincoln. Not as bad on Lincoln as on other places. And I'm curious how much that affects the 2019 and 2020 recruiting cycles, because Friday Night Lights has paid some dividends already. Like, Bookie was there. Tyjon Lindsey was there. Keyshawn was already committed, but he was there, as was
Jebbia.
Yeah. And
is it Jebbia or Gebbia?
I've heard it both from reputable people.
If anybody knows him, can they just have him call us or tweet us and just tell us how to spell it?
Call us. We'll do an interview.
Yeah, we'll interview you.
We have interviewed him.
We did interview him.
Yeah. He's a little guy.
He's a very small guy.
But, yeah. So two things from that. One, you lose the chance of playing in front of fans, like a lot of fans for practice,
right?
Which impresses a lot of people. And there were probably some who didn't come because of the storm. Mm-hmm. And then a bunch who had to be turned away because of the storm as well. I think they got an hour in the stadium. And then kids from California and all that coming in, the last thing that you need when you're recruiting someone to Nebraska is a fucking tornado.
Yeah, but I don't. Was it a tornado or just a thunderstorm?
Well, there was a tornado warning. Like Bellevue got hit really hard with tornadoes.
My cousin's tree got struck by lightning, and it was crazy looking, 10 feet from her house.
Hmm.
Lucky.
There was at least. I knew somebody who said, like, somebody in their neighborhood, like, their house just got completely taken out.
Like yesterday?
Yeah.
Damn, Gina.
Like, someone it was like maybe a block away from like a former teacher of mine who now lives in Bellevue. She said, yeah, her neighbor's house just got obliterated.
Where's Bellevue?
Like,
oh yeah,
Omaha.
Omaha, yeah, yeah.
Third largest city in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Because it's technically not part of Omaha.
Right.
Unlike every other little town that's been swallowed up by Omaha.
I know.
Okay, so there are bigger things at play with a tornado than how it affects Husker recruiting, but it might potentially affect Husker recruiting.
Yeah.
It deserves to be said. I mean, people who had their houses taken away are probably still worried about how it affects Husker recruiting.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, I think guys like Jameer Calvin, you know, guys that are that type of person that are like all about the attention, those guys will be affected by it. But I doubt other guys are. They just want to be seen by the coaches, meet the coaches, talk to the coaches. And not to mention the Williams brothers, the law firm.
Yeah.
They're just good.
Yeah.
They're just the best recruiters in the country. I think one's ranked number 3 and one's ranked number 6.
I think they're now like 4 and 12.
Are they?
Well, especially because Cameron Brown decommitted.
Oh, yeah. But don't worry.
Yeah. We'll get someone better.
We're going to get Joshua Moore tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm going to give like, I have like 100%. I'm like 100%. Sure.
Speaking of the Jameer Calvin thing, besides the fact that who knows what would affect his decision making, he just changed at the drop of a hat always anyway.
Yeah.
But so Micah Parsons, number 3 player in the country, okay, or number 4 potentially now. Like a perfect outside linebacker in a 3-4 defense.
Right.
An incredible athlete.
Decommits from Penn State, right?
Yeah. And he was trying to get to a certain Twitter follower amount and said, GBR, where you at? And so somebody like a week or two ago tagged us on that so we could share it out. I didn't want to.
Right.
I said,
Jameer Calvin rule.
Yeah. And it's not insulting to the player. To me, it's just, you know.
And the people were mad because you tagged him in that.
Yeah, I just was responding.
You just responded, yeah.
I wasn't trying to say. Like,
listen here, Micah Parsons.
Yeah. But also, too, like, listen here, recruits.
Yeah.
We're not here to bump your followers.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. You know what? You're a goddamn football player and a good one.
A 17-year-old football player.
And a good one. So you're going to get everything your little heart desires. You don't need to worry about us for your Twitter followers. Go fuck yourself.
We're not saying that specifically to you, Micah Parsons, or anyone else.
No, to every single goddamn 17-year-old that thinks that I need to follow them because they can catch a goddamn football.
We've offered a guy who hasn't played his freshman year of football yet.
I know.
That's crazy. And he's a lineman.
He's
bigger than some of the line recruits we brought in this past year.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
He's going to get so much tang, he doesn't need to worry about how many Twitter followers he gets from Husker Nation. Like, I get it. You know what? If you want to know how good Husker fans are, just go on the internet.
Or become a Husker.
Yeah, or just ask another recruit. Like, it's, come on, you don't need us, it's bullshit. You just want us to bump your followers up, and you know that we're all fucking suckers, so we'll do it.
And the thing that bothered me, I don't want us to be the fan base that, you know, really goes after Josh Freeman because he decommits from us and goes to Kansas State. I don't want, like,
right, I don't think that's cool either.
Every fan base does that.
I wanted to talk shit to Jameer Calvin, but I didn't.
Right. I don't want us to be that fan base, but I also don't want us to be the fan base that, like, oh, well, I'll root for you at Oregon State, or I'll root for you at Washington State. No.
Yeah.
You're a Cougar now. You're not a Husker.
Yeah.
You are not one of us, Jameer Calvin.
Yeah, Yeah, that's some dumb shit.
Like, best wishes to you.
Yeah. I get Solich.
So long, farewell, good luck. But you have fans in Pullman, Washington, and if you don't have enough of them there, then you should have come to a different program.
Right. And also, if you sit there and you follow every goddamn recruit, one, they don't give a shit. It's not going to affect the recruiting. It's dumb.
And also, if everything they post gets 400 GBRs, that's going to get kind of annoying, too.
Probably. But also, what you end up looking like is the – we've all seen those, like, especially, like, 80s teen movies. There's, like, the nerdy guy, like, Ducky or whatever. Like, she goes to the dance and fucks the football player, and then you stand there like, well, we'll be here waiting for you. Like, you're a chump. You're a sucker. That's what you are.
Yeah.
I'm not – wait, I don't – I'm not – you're 17 years old. When you'll be fine. You're about to hit the best part of your life.
When you're in Lincoln, no matter how good or bad it goes, Nebraska fans – I mean, there will be some dickheads. Mm-hmm. I mean, no matter what program
I'm a dickhead.
But Nebraska fans will forever embrace you as a Husker, and that will always be the case.
That's the thing.
And you will get nothing less than that. But this bullshit it's sort of like those prom proposals that are more
extravagant
than wedding proposals. It's like, come on, like, we'll give you the extravagance when you're here and you're married.
I proposed to my wife in jeans.
I'm pretty sure I was in jeans too.
Yeah.
I
only own jeans though, so it's not like,
you know where I took my wife to dinner that night? My grandpa and grandma's house.
Oh, cool.
And then we came back to my place and I proposed, but we had the ring for a week, so she knew it was coming.
I asked her at Holmes Lake.
Cool.
In the 80s or 90s, the sewer ran into Holmes Lake. So.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Anyways.
Yeah. So you don't think it'll have an effect on recruiting?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's devastating. I mean, I'm sure. I'm sure, like, the best possible outcome is fans in the stands, beautiful weather, playing, watching the sunset as we
which
all
is what it was last year,
right? And we're all holding hands and singing the Husker fight song as the sun sets, and then everybody yells GBR and freeze frame. Like, that's the best possible outcome, but also, like, I don't think that matters that much. We didn't get Jameer Calvin, and let's not forget, we didn't get
Greg, Joseph Lewis,
Darnay Holmes,
Greg Johnson.
Yeah. Or what's his name? He was an Oregon commit.
Oh, I don't think D'Amador Lenore came.
No, not him. The one that we do have now.
What?
Or maybe it was an Ohio State commit that decommitted and went to us.
Tyjon Lindsey. Yeah, he came to Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, but we didn't get him at first. He went to Ohio, and you can make, you know, who knows. So it can go.
And then he had
ways.
A falling out with his buddy.
Yeah, and or else he wouldn't have come to Nebraska. So Friday Night Lights are great because it gets his bookie. But I don't think that's what's got his bookie. I think what got his bookie was that we got Keyshawn.
Well, I think it lays the groundwork for 2019 more than it does for anything for 2018. I think it helped lay an early foundation for a guy like Bookie.
Right.
It's harder late in the game with a guy like Joseph Lewis or a Tyjon Lindsey or someone like that for the current recruiting class.
I agree.
Especially since signing day has been moved up. You've got the early signing day.
Right.
Like, that makes it almost entirely for the 2019 and 2020 classes.
Right, which is great because you get a guy like Williams and Williams in there.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're fucking dope, man.
Yeah, you love yourself, the Williams brothers.
I do. I really am a big fan of Keith Williams.
It was funny. We were, you know, on our Facebook Live earlier, we were comparing the Williams twins to a couple other recruiters on the Husker staff. Mm-hmm. Kavanaugh and Reggie Davis, and you're willing to grant a little bit more leeway to Coach Cav than Reggie Davis.
Yeah, because but not for anything. I mean, literally only because Milt told me to.
Okay,
like, that's it. I trust Milt. I give. Milt has proven himself to know what the fuck he's talking about. Charlie McBride has proven himself to know what the fuck he's talking about. Tom Osborne also, but he hasn't come on the Copcast. And also, he's way more political. He's going to tell you what the university wants you to hear. I don't think that Charlie and Milt would do that.
You can know what the hell you're talking about and still
be wrong.
Yeah, like, I mean, you won't get a consensus answer as far as whether or not Frank Solich was the right hire, but you also won't get a consensus hire that it was the right hire.
Yeah, recruiting's hard, and recruiting's even harder now.
Yeah.
And well, that's where Solich slacked. He wasn't a good recruiter.
It's about knowing where the rules are and how they change and how to jump right to that edge. It's a delicate, or if you're in the SEC, you're going past it. But
right. But he also went 10-2 the season he got fired, right?
Well, he went 9-3. The team went 10-3.
Okay, 10-3. Yeah. So we may have pulled the trigger too early on his ass.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a head coach is only as good as his assistant coaching staff. He only got 1 year with that assistant coaching staff, because Marvin Sanders was a really good DBs coach, too, who worked really well with Bo Pelini. That was a good tandem. I went back and rewatched the Nebraska-Penn State game from 2003 that was played in Lincoln that was Solich's last year when he had Pelini as the defensive coordinator. It was 18-10, that Penn State game that Nebraska won. And it's so easy to forget that Barney Cotton was the offensive coordinator that year.
For Solich's first year?
For his last
or
year.
For his last year, I mean?
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. Barney Cotton sucks.
They scored one red zone touchdown that game. thankfully, the defense was really, really good. And Penn State's quarterback sucked. I randomly watched like some weird choices of games. There was one particular moment that stood out to me, like late in the game, Nebraska's defense had to come back out on the field again. And you could see the starting defense just like dancing with excitement, ready to go back out on the field. And I was trying to find that moment. And then I just watched the whole fucking game. I'm a weirdo like that.
Yeah. I missed the option, man.
Yeah. People forget too. Jamal Lord was solid.
He wasn't a bad back quarterback.
Jamal Lord was pretty dang good.
Was Jamal Lord, who's the one that took to God, what the fuck was that guy's name? Not Terrell Newbie.
I don't know what you're trying to figure out.
Bobby Newcomb?
What about Bobby Newcomb?
Who's the quarterback that took Bobby Newcomb's spot and they just put him out in wideout?
Oh, Eric Crouch.
Oh, was that Eric Crouch?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind.
They came in the same recruiting class.
Oh, and then Eric Crouch threw hissy fit like a goddamn child.
Yeah, well, Newcomb played his true freshman year because they put him at wide receiver, and Crouch redshirted, and then Newcomb got the starting job, and then eventually lost it to Crouch
because Crouch went home and quit the team.
Yeah,
like a goddamn baby.
Newcomb, his very first year, actually, he looked pretty solid early in the year, but then he tore the PCL in his knee, and he was never the same after that. Just as an athlete in general.
It's hard.
Yeah. That's a weird ligament to tear. It's the back of your knee.
Dude, I bet it's not as weird as people think.
Well, I mean, most people tear the ACL, sometimes right. The MCL or LCL, but the PCL seems like it would be really hard.
Yeah, but if you ever roll out the back of your knee, if you ever roll out the back of your knee, like I have this machine where it has like a ball on one end and then like a foam roller on the other and you kind of squeeze and if you go into that back part of your knee, there's knots in there that you can't get out. So that muscle gets so tight unless you really get in there, and a tight muscle is easy to pull.
Yeah. But you know who Lord did replace was Crouch.
Okay.
And that was part of why he had such PR issues, because he was following Eric Crouch, the Heisman Trophy winner, for God's sake, and was also on one of the worst Husker teams at that point. Like, Nebraska had never won fewer than 9 games dating back to the 60s, and then they go 7-7, and it wasn't on Jamal Lord. Craig Bowles' defense struggled, and it wasn't even necessarily on the defensive talent either. Craig Bowles just kind of started to get exposed at the end of his career. And then, for whatever reason, he reinvented himself as a great head coach. It's so weird.
Well, because head coaches are CEOs.
Yeah.
That's why Bo Pelini is a great coordinator but a horrible coach, because he can't even manage his own mouth.
I'm not even convinced he's that good.
A goddamn team.
I'm not even convinced he's that good a coordinator. I mean, coordinator is essentially a CEO of one side.
But is he? Because, like, if you think about it, like, so when he goes to recruit, right, he's got someone being like, hey, Bo, don't say dumb shit. When he's the head coach, nobody's telling him not to say dumb shit.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't probably be a coach of any stripe if you have to be told not to say dumb shit.
But that's most of the coaches, right? I mean, like, how many coaches have you heard say just dumb shit?
I mean, a fair amount.
Go on YouTube and just click coach says dumb shit.
I mean, Mike Gundy is a head coach, and he was the one yelling out that he was a man and that he was 40.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty good head coach, too, and he's growing a mullet.
And the other one that was yelling out honey badgers and shit? And
well, LSU had a player they called Honey Badger.
Wasn't there a coach that kept yelling out, we're Honey Badgers? Isn't there a YouTube video of that somewhere? I'll Google it in a minute.
All right.
I'll show you in a minute.
All right.
Anyways, yeah, man.
So do we
so Reggie Davis. We never got to that.
No, we didn't get to Reggie Davis.
Reggie Davis, he better get his shit together, because he is the one right now that's suspect to me.
Well,
him and then Cav, probably.
Yeah, at least recruiting-wise, and also maybe development of talent-wise on both of them. I think they both have potential, but right now
I have yet to see any reason to believe that Reggie Davis has potential.
Zigbo and Bryant have developed into pretty good talents as three-star players. So I'll give them that. And but as far as getting – so, I mean – Cav brings in the volume of talent that you need for an offensive line. There hasn't really been anything higher than three stars, maybe other than Jalen Barnett, who hasn't seen the field and doesn't look like he'll see the field for a while either, because he looks like he's just kind of chubby. And so
he could be a third down, kind of like Imani Cross type, right?
Well, we're talking offensive line here.
Oh. Who's Jalen Barnett? Show me a picture of Jalen Barnett. Who's
did I say Jalen? I may have gotten the wrong name.
Who are our running backs right now that we have that came in last year?
Hang on here. Well, yeah, Jalen Barnett is a guard, so I had that right.
Okay.
And there's a Jalen from Bellevue West whose last name I'm struggling to think of right now. Jalen Bradley.
Okay, and he's a...
He's a running back. He's a,
yeah, okay, so that's who I'm thinking of.
That was who you were thinking of. I figured that's who you were thinking of.
Yeah, because I knew there was a Jalen that played running back.
We were both drawing blanks on the Jalens.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, I mean, with a position like running back or a position like quarterback, it's kind of all or nothing with recruiting. Like, you have to really hit on one, or you've missed for a whole year, whereas you can recruit four or five on the offensive line. It's going to probably only be two on the offensive line this year.
Especially since he doesn't, like you were talking about earlier, he doesn't...
Cav?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He doesn't rotate at all.
Yeah, that's the... I think personality-wise, everyone loves Cav, but there's always the question about what he's doing.
Like, at least in the third and fourth quarter...
He doesn't rotate at all, which, one, is going to potentially get a guy injured.
Well, and also, why would you come? You're going to start to limit guys that want to come, those four- and five-star guys. So you're telling them, like, you're going to have to wait 2 years before you get in.
Or you get in right away and you'll never lose your job.
But that ain't. But the chances are...
That probably would have happened with Foster Sarrell.
Yeah, but how many O-line guys are big enough to come in out of high school to play college ball?
Very few.
Right.
Except maybe that guy who's going to be a freshman in high school this year.
Yeah.
Who we've already offered a scholarship, and he's 6'5", 280.
How about that Navy SEAL that got put on the team that's like...
Who's never played football before?
That's like 30?
Yeah. You see a picture and you're like, oh, yep, that's the Navy SEAL.
Yeah. I bet he sucks. I bet he just got in because he's a Navy SEAL.
Well, yeah, he said he had to go kind of plead his case. He came to Nebraska specifically to walk on as a football player. He's not from Nebraska. He thought that would be his best opportunity. had an okay tryout, and then had to go plead his case to the coaches. But I bet he's a guy who could learn. Like, you're learning to disassemble IEDs underwater. I think you could probably learn how to be on a kickoff team.
Yeah. I guess.
I'm betting he could learn. And I'm betting he's a decent athlete.
That's the thing. He's an athlete. But, like, he's also 30.
Yeah. You only need to stay healthy for 4 years. He hasn't put any tread on his body.
Bullshit.
Well, yeah, Navy. Never mind. Scratch that. Yeah.
That guy's killed men. If I was him.
Okay, so he put tread on his mind.
If anything, that's what I would do. Every time I lined up across the line from somebody, I would just lean in and be like, I've killed men. I've looked in their eyes and I've watched them die.
One of them looked like you.
Yeah. I'll fuck your skull. I'll fuck your dead skull. That's what I would say.
Is that how you picture the military does things?
What's that?
You picture this.
Hey, man, I do know this. I know that the military makes some people fucking bananas.
Well, you've just, I think, mentioned the very thing, killing people.
Yeah. I would assume almost being killed would be just as bad.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Man. That's why I'm not in the military, because I'm a giant pussy with a weak mind.
Dude, I think there are people...
A 315-pound deadlift ain't going to do shit for me in the military.
I think there are also people who don't realize what they're getting into.
Most people probably don't realize what they're getting into.
It was...
It's all fun and games. They all think it's Call of Duty. That's not fair. Not all.
No. I had to cover when the Wayne National Guard unit went overseas when I was working for the radio station there. And, you know, they did a big field show as they were about to leave, you know, with the marching and all that. And you could see, you know, you had the career military men who were there. And then you had, like, the 19-year-old kids who suddenly the weight of what was about to happen was starting to come down, and you could see like the lips starting to quiver, and it's like, Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, dude. It's fucking no joke, man.
Yeah. And one of them didn't come back.
What's that?
And one of them didn't come back.
That sucks.
Yeah. This is our podcast, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this got dark.
Yeah.
So recruiting.
Well, we pivoted from people losing their homes to recruiting earlier. We can pivot out of war.
Totally different. Totally different. You can make fun of someone whose house. No, you can't. That's probably fucked up too. I just looked on my phone to see what the topics were.
Okay, so somebody wondered why we didn't rail into the Bob Stoops situation last week.
I don't hate Bob Stoops.
Yeah,
I respect Bob Stoops. I hate Iowa. I hate Texas. I hate Warren Sapp. I hate Steve Spurrier. I hate Joe Paterno.
And some of these are for different reasons.
No, they're all pretty much for the same reasons. For talking shit.
Spurrier and Paterno?
Spurrier for talking shit, and Paterno for saying that he was better than Tom Osborne. And then when Tom Osborne said, hey man, let's arrange a time to play a separate game, he said, oh no, we're tied to the Rose Bowl.
It has nothing to do with any of the other stuff with Paterno?
You mean the fucking child diddling? Yeah, that's also horrible.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a good reason to hate Paterno.
Mm-hmm.
I can at least respect...
Did you hear that they were going to put his statue back up?
No.
But this time the head was going to turn the other way?
I think someone did tell me that joke. That's a Husker joke Monday.
Yep.
I can at least respect Spurrier, because he
cried on national TV.
He didn't actually cry.
Yes, he did. Go walk back and watch his
eyes. He looked miserable.
His eyes were watering and tears fell down his cheek. Go Google it.
He was basically Muhammad Ali, not in the skill level, but in what he did, like, psychologically for college football. He knew what he was doing with all that. I respected him more than I respected Bobby Bowden.
Why?
Because, one, Spurrier actually punished some dudes. Bobby Bowden was a guy who looked the other way on a bunch of things. And Bobby Bowden like to paint himself as a good guy and just yuck things up. But man, he covered some shit, and he was dirty. Spurrier, you at least knew what you were getting. I'm not a fan of either. Don't get me wrong.
Spurrier is a cuck.
Jesus. Sometimes I wish you didn't have the internet.
I can't believe I learned that word. Like, I'm so happy I learned that word. He's a cuckold.
Oh, God.
Okay, anyways, my point is, I respect Oklahoma, the Sooners. They played well. Barry Switzer, people can talk all the shit they want, but he was a good guy. So what, he tried to take a gun on a plane? Who hasn't tried to take a gun on a plane?
Also, like, it was a different era then, too.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
That was, like, the year before he won the Super Bowl, I think. So, 96?
Okay, so a little bit later than that. I was thinking 80s.
He was in Dallas when that happened.
Okay. Because I'm like, you know.
But he also, like, he just has this don't give a fuck about him. Like, where he... Oh, you say?
Oh no, I was just picturing like Die Hard. Like, it was such a different era in the '80s. Like, John McClane's bringing a gun on an airplane, smoking on planes, like all that shit.
But still, 96 isn't that far removed. I mean, there was no like. I mean, remember Columbine happened in 99. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was a freshman.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, there was a whole the gun outrage was, I'm sure it was still around, but it wasn't as prevalent. And there was no internet, really, at that point.
Well, and also, 9/11 hadn't happened either.
Yeah, a lot of stuff hadn't
happened. I used to be able to, like, if I had relatives flying out, as long as I took the change out of my pocket and walked through the security, I could get to, like, the gate area and watch their plane leave and everything up until 9/11.
Oh, wow.
Then you had to bring your ticket through. That's how different times were, man.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got PTSD from war,
mm-hmm.
9/11, Columbine, homes being taken out by tornadoes. We've hit a grand slam, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a hat trick. What else can we talk about?
We're fucking killing it today. I mean,
yeah.
The murder of the Russian czars? I don't know.
The murder of the Russian czars. Way to just take it over everybody's head. Nobody gives a fuck about that.
I saw an exhibit for that when I was a kid, and I haven't forgotten about it. Anyway.
That was that, what, Anastasia or whatever? Yeah.
You were about to ask me something, didn't I? What?
Oh, that's what else was on that list. But, no, I don't hate Bob Stoops. I respect Oklahoma. I respect... Barry Switzer's a good, all right guy. Like, he...
You mean Bob Stoops?
No, I mean both.
Oh, both. Oh, okay.
Like, I don't have this... Like, fuck Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Brian Ferentz.
Yeah. Yeah, especially him. Like, Mac Brown can eat a bunch of dicks. Like, Warren Sapp, fucking chubby fuck. Like, it's those guys...
Also an abuser, after the fact.
Yeah.
At least for a while, you were like, he's you know, goofy. But then
was goofy. I thought he was just a shitty... I just didn't like him.
Yeah.
Dancing around after he sacked.
Hey, he just wasted some of his own energy doing that shit.
Yeah.
I always thought that with Ray Lewis in the... Like, I don't care, like... Do what you got to do, but I've always thought, like, having played sports, how can there be that much energy for celebration? Like, you make a sack and get back to the huddle and just have a little more juice for third down then.
Yeah. Ray Lewis, remember when he killed that guy?
Yeah.
Murder. Add murder to the list of things we've talked about. Yeah, like, I don't know. But so those guys are different. Like, I don't like those guys. I want to play Oklahoma because it's going to be like a good throwback rivalry game where I think we play in, what, 2021?
Something like that.
And I think it's 21 and 22 because it's the 71-72. Like,
that makes sense. Yeah. There's a lot of romanticism, though, of Oklahoma and that rivalry. there have been some filthy moments in that rivalry, though,
oh,
too.
Oh, for sure. Brian Bosworth was a shitty human being.
I mean, you remember when those fucking roughnecks were riding around at an Oklahoma game that one year, and then Darren DeLone, like, broke a guy's eye socket, one of our backup offensive linemen.
Broke a guy's eye socket?
Yeah, like, punched him in the face. And then had to go on trial for punching a dude on the field.
I don't remember that.
It was, like, one of their spirit groups. But it wasn't like a school-sanctioned one. It was like one that the students made called the Roughnecks, and they were like carrying around like guns and shit. Like, I'm assuming fake guns, right. But they were firing them off.
So they couldn't have been fake.
Well, blanks.
Oh.
But yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that a lot of those rivalries got heated. Rivalries always get heated, but I wasn't really alive for that. The rivalry, you know, when I was paying attention, we were beating their ass every year. The 90s. They sucked.
Yeah, I remember just the tail end of both teams being good. Then Oklahoma went on probation. Then they hired fucking John Blake, who probably brought some of the talent that helped win Bob Stoops a national championship, because John Blake was a filthy recruiter but a terrible coach. He was the guy who also helped recruit Ndamukong Suh.
Oh.
Yeah. But yeah, he's
Ndamukong Suh, man. Could you imagine if we had him back? There's never going to be another Ndamukong Suh.
I wonder where they'd put him in a 3-4. He could play
nose tackle.
Yeah, probably. But also, I think he'd be a hell of a 3-4 defensive end.
Yeah, but what happens when you put him at nose tackle and you got two other really good defensive ends? Because that nose tackle position is there to take up space. You have to triple team a guy like Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, but also some of your ends are more like your defensive tackle. Your nose guard is basically your big blob. I think he might be too athletic for a nose guard.
You think?
Or a nose tackle.
I don't know, man, because he's so fast.
He could do either. I mean, there's a lot of talk that DeAndre Thomas is that kind of player. Like, he's so strong that he could be in the middle as a nose tackle, but also a good enough athlete that you can have him as a 3-4 defensive end.
Interesting.
He's
that big-ass dude we got last year, right?
Well, he's not the super gigantic one. That's Damian Daniels.
Yeah. I know who that is. He's the smiley one. He looks like – he reminds me of the dude from SNL.
Kenan Thompson?
Yeah, he's just smiley, just big and chubby and smiley.
I hope we recruit Kel next year.
That'd be great. No, what do we need Kel for?
He'll be a D-back.
I guess.
And –
a fucking 5'9" D back.
I watched Keenan and Kel back in the day.
I did too. What else is on our list?
Unless you
have more to add to that.
No, we had Bob Stoops, we had Friday Night Lights, and we had Reggie and Cav.
I feel like
we talked some of that out during the Facebook Live.
Yeah. Which you guys should start checking out every Saturday about noonish. I'll start tweeting out when we do it.
It would have been 2:30 Nebraska time.
Oh, yeah, 2:30 Nebraska time. So 12:30 LA.
Yeah.
Man, is there anything else? There's got to be something.
Where are we at?
About 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's
fine. Good enough, yeah.
What are you going to do without me the next couple weeks?
I don't know. Yeah, Pat's going to be in England.
Yeah. I got the obligatory don't get blown up message from a few different family members.
Don't get blown up.
Because there have been attacks in England. Like, we're going to be in, like, Oxford and Cornwall, which is, like, the equivalent of staying, like, in Minnesota if you were visiting the U.S.
Mm.
Like, we're not – we're like, a day in London. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go to Europe.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, I haven't been there. I've been to a lot of other
places. You've been to Russia. That's Europe.
No, it's not. It's Asia.
It's –
purely Asia. If you look at the Asian man, do I have to have this conversation with another goddamn person?
Well, they play in the European Federation for soccer.
Because they're white. Like, it's Asia. It's Asia. Look on a goddamn map. That's why Asia is so big, because it has Russia, it has China, it has —
Did you fly direct to Russia when you went there?
No, we stopped in Frankfurt.
Okay, so you've been to Europe?
Oh, yeah, I guess I have to. But does the airport count as?
I think so.
No, I count. But I'm saying legally, I don't think it counts. It's like international waters, right? Like,
well, it depends from airport to airport, because there have been some stops where I've gotten stamped and others where I haven't.
It should be where you exit. If you exit, you should get stamped, but not if you have to go through customs. But if you're just going from terminal to terminal, you shouldn't get stamped.
Hmm.
I've been to India, too.
Yeah. That I know is Asia.
Yeah. India is Asia.
A significant part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure I'll follow who we sign because I think we've got Wi-Fi in most of our places.
Yeah. It'll be Josh Brown. That'll be it.
Joshua Moore.
I mean, Joshua Moore, sorry.
I hope we don't sign Josh
Brown.
Yeah,
no shit.
That guy's got too much baggage.
Not to mention, we got the number one kicker in the country already.
Yeah. Barrett Pickering would kick his ass both at kicking and in just ass kicking.
There's no way. Josh Brown is a grown man that played in the NFL for several
years.
And
also has anger control issues.
Yeah. Brett Pickering would get his ass whooped. 17-year-old kid trying to fight a grown man from the NFL.
Hey, sometimes it's about wiles.
Not when it's like, I can get wild. Josh Brown is going to fuck me up.
Josh Brown got beat up by a dental student and had to miss his last home game as a Husker because he got in a fight with the dental student because the dental student was dating his ex-girlfriend, but the dental student won the fight.
When they were the same age.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But come on, he was like in a football training facility. Even though he was a kicker, he was still lifting weights. The dental student was cleaning teeth.
Yeah, but you can lift weights too.
Yeah.
I'm a video editor. Have you met most video editors?
Yeah, but I mean,
most video editors are like 250 pounds, and they have like Mountain Dew Code Red.
Yeah.
Right.
What I'm saying is, yeah, you can have an outlier as a dental student, but in all likelihood.
But my guess is if he fought a football player and won, he's an outlier.
All right.
Hip hip.
Hooray.
What a great way to go out. Oh, I'll let that. We'll leave that in.
It's still going.
I know.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.